When we left off last month, we're up to some Kofpei Zion Sif Yud, if I recall correctly. And Sif Yud, it's a very, very complicated if, which is not sold to myself. We're going to go through it a little quickly, perhaps. Haroa dam b'shas tashmish muteres l'shamish pa'am shemish k'tahir. Right. So that's obvious, right? Only three times asked you. Miu meches chaychin an chadazim na acha riyasa. However, she has to be poshesh for one time after her riyah for a vesa she'enu kavua. What does it mean, a vesa she'enu kavua? Doesn't mean a vesa she'enu kavua of ro'a machmas tashmish. Because then being poshesh one time instead of being shamish. What it means is a vesa she'enu kavua of what we'll call soon murka of combination. A vesa she'enu kavua of the day or circumstance plus tashmish. Like maybe it's the day and the tashmish that caused it. Like what's the example? Gyona rasa pamo pamayin belel shel tfilasa, right? Do you have the word sheni in your Shulchan Aruch?
It's not focused
on your son. No, but I'm just wondering what's printed in your Mechaber.
Mine's belel
shel, okay. Belel shel tfilasa, shdegia tfila acheres, for reason of mine, they put in the word sheni.
I have shot sheni.
Okay. Belel shel tfilasa, shdegia tfila acheres, so if she sees Machmas Tashmish once on Leil Tvila, then maybe it's only Tashmish on Leil Tvila that does it. Meaning, they weren't Gozer Vesesh She'enu Kavua to be Koshish after one time for Tashmish, because that would mean she'd get a Rishamish, and that's impossible. You know, that's too, that's impractical. But they weren't Gozer. A vesa she'enu kavua on practical things. So, for example, if she stole once on the mikvah night, she could just be poreish the next mikvah night. That's a practical thing. But she doesn't have to be poreish the third one, I mean the mikvah night after that. Like if she's saw during mikvah night in Tishrei, she has to be poreish mikvah night in Cheshvan. But she does have to be poreish mikvah night in Kislev, because in Cheshvan, you uprooted it. Here we have machlokes. We mentioned this once, and it comes up twice. In this sif, but in sif kavim and gimel, we have the sheet of the Chavos Das, the famous sheet of the Chavos Das, who says, "Hold on a second. What do you mean?" He says against pshat of the machaber. Hey, very. Oh, I mean, it's just think of the machaber. What does the machaber sound like? And this is important because it's not just about this weird case. It's a general thing, right? Tishrei. Let's say like this: Tishrei, Tashmish, Leil Tfila, plus Tashmish led to Riyah. Right? So, what do we have to do? We have to say maybe it's not Tashmish, maybe it's Leil Tfila plus Tashmish, and then even one time it's practical to be Machmir. So, therefore, in Cheshvan, what happens on Cheshvan? On Cheshvan, Leil Tfila. No tashmish. And therefore, nothing happens. No tashmish. No ri'ida. So what happens on Kislev? Shav in the Mechaber is, says, Shav in the Mechaber. Of the Mechaber is, Luteris l'shamish, because it was nectar b'pam achas. However, says the Chavos Das, that's not logical. He says, how is it nekar? The Veses was that Leil Tfila plus Tashmish makes her Iyah. So in Cheshvan, she did Leil Tfila without Tashmish. So she never ran the experiment. Of course, Leil Tfila without Tashmish doesn't make her Iyah. The whole Shach Leil Tfila plus Tashmish. So therefore, it's not uprooted, says the Chavos Das. Nope. She is Asura Lishamesh. Forever, meaning every Leil Tfila for the rest of her life, right? Forever on Leil Tfila, because it was not Nekar, because she didn't replicate the circumstances.
right? If you ask any scientist, they would say that's not a disproof.
And he says the only way to be okerit is for her to do an aveira and be mishamish b'leil tefila. Okay, the Chavos Das sounds logical.
That doesn't seem to be what the Mechaber meant.
Right, the Mechaber meant that she was poor as a freshman and doesn't have to worry about kids. All
right.
So, halacha l'maisa, we mentioned this once before, and we'll mention it again. The Chavos Das is logical, but we don't paskin like the Chavos Das. We paskin like all the later Achronim paskin like the Mechaber, not like the Chavos Das. The same Chavos Das will come up again, right? I said it's later in this. If in the Piskei Tshuva, this is in Piskei Tshuva Mem Gimel, he also comes up in the Piskei Tshuva Sifkatan Mem Vav, or no, am I wrong? Yeah, Mem Vav. No, maybe. What was it?
I still wrote it down.
No, that's not the same one. What I meant was Memches. Sorry, whoever said Memches was right. Right, so cut Memches here, the same exact history. Did another example, same exact history. What's the principle? The Chavos Das says to be Oker Vesa She'im Kavua, you need a logical scientific Akira. And we don't possibly like him. Why? We possibly, that's true for Vesa Kavua. To be uprooted Vesa Kavua, you need a logical Akira. But a Vesa She'eino Kavua is a very tall Zera, and therefore you uproot it, even if you haven't disproven it, just not continuing it is enough to uproot it. Okay, that's a clue of Vesa She'eino Kavua.
Is it also clue because the type of Vesa She'eino Kavua is, that it's more covered in general when they feel that?
No, no. No, it's a general rule, Vesa She'eino Kavua. We pass in Vesa She'eino Kavua. We'll see it across the board, sometimes on Machlokes, that Vesa She'eino Kavua, even if you haven't disproven it, as long as you haven't continued it, that's good enough. Okay, that's the Svara. Here, you need a logical Akira. Yeah, no, it's a Kula of Eino Kavua. By the way, by Vesa Kavua, everyone would be the Chavos Das. If you thought three times, you know, in Mikvah night, Rachmas Tashmish, whatever the case may be, if you work out all the details we haven't gotten to yet, then everyone agrees the only uproot is three times with the Aveir and being Shamish and Atsi. But it's a kula of Eino Kavua that it's uprooted even without a logical Akira, as long as it didn't continue.
Is there a star that you are calling something?
Yes.
Yes,
there's a spara that the tefillah is calling something. Maybe the tefillah is calling something.
But why are we assuming that the tefillah is not bad?
So here it's an interesting question. Is it that mamish that tefillah causes something? Or is it that, you know, it's more of the first via after the tefillah is a different psychological state? You know, so it might be more psychological than physical, probably. Okay, Lamaisa, we pass against the Chavos Das in Mem Gimel, and again the next Sif in Mem Ches, and we had it earlier, I just don't remember what Simon and what Sifat with Pesach Tshuva, with the exact same Chavos Das, we said the exact same thing about him. You know, it'll come to me if I stop thinking about it. Okay, that's a Klal Gadol, that we're making an uprooting Eino Kavua, even if you don't have a disproof, as long as you have a discontinuation. Oh, because once or twice is Eino Kavua, and only needs one stop root as opposed to three times. Okay. Meaning, how wouldn't you have to have an Isser in order for that to?
If they had Tashmish, and then she didn't the next time, and the next time, and that would be over. They counted it wrong, and they next month.
I see what you're saying. Meaning, it could be that, let's say, in Tishrei, she is Meshamish and Leofil and saw. In the Cheshvan, she didn't do anything Leofil. And in Kislev, Meshamish, Leofil and saw, then that would still count as twice. I think you're right. I can't promise you what he meant, but I think you're right that, you know, that's certainly what he could mean. Okay. Now, let's now where does the Sheni come from? Who put in the Sheni? Here, there's a lot of subtle things here. A lot of very subtle inyanim here, even just a reading chat. Who put in Sheni? The Emunah Shmuel put in Sheni. How do you know? If you look in the Pesachim Tshuva here in Mem Aleph, he says, "I am Brahit of Shem Tshuva Zemun Shmuel, the Ishto Sovragam, it starts Lomar Belel Shemi, the Chuli. Yim Lokain, etc." Okay, where is that? What? Why does the Emunah Shmuel have to put in Shemi here? It seems to read pretty well without the word Shemi. So the reason the Emunah Shmuel has to put in Shemi is. Is because of the following machlokes in the Pesachim Tshuvas of Katan Mem Daled, right? He mentioned the Emunah Shmuel here also. Let me just find the perfect. He mentions the Emunah Shmuel. Kolak al Emunah Shmuel Shekasov etc. A woman who sees three times in a row Belel Tmila. What would be the din of a woman who sees three times in a row Belel Tefila, right? Ratza Gimel Pa'amim Belel Tefila. There are two ways of conceptualizing this. Seeing three times Belel Tefila. One way is there are two ways to concept. Part of the problem is when it comes to patterns, if anyone's ever thought deeply about patterns, you know, a lot of it isn't how you look. You know, you can interpret a pattern in different ways. You can interpret a pattern in different ways, right? What comes after two and three? What?
Four.
Or five.
Or one.
Maybe you're counting primes. Anyway, okay. So, the, what comes after two, three, and five? Seven if you're counting primes, but if you're counting Fibonacci numbers, eight. Okay, so we could go on, but it wouldn't actually teach us anything useful. So let's go back to our topic. What are the two ways to interpret this? Clearly you have a pattern. What is the pattern? One way of interpreting the pattern is a vessel. And I mean, Machlas Hashmash, right? Here we're dealing with Machlas Hashmash. Although I'm sure they would have the same Machlokas if it wasn't Machlas Hashmash. So, you know, the practical effect would be different, right? One is a Vesef Lilel Tzvila. The other possibility is a Vesef Levia Rishona Tzvila, right? There are two different ways you can interpret this. Vesef for the first Tzvila or Vesef for the first night. And both of these, in the judgment of the post-game, seem to be possible thing. The question is, how do you interpret it? Obviously, one way is more macro way of interpreting, one way is more make a way of interpreting it. Right? Here, Yesh La'ayin is the Soda Machlokas, like, it's very hard to make a Soda Machlokas local. Like, do we just think scientifically it's more likely the night of Tefila or the first Tefila after Tefila? Or is it global? When we have two ways to interpret a pattern, we interpret the not the way is more made. This is a famous machlokes between the Emunah Shmuel and the Minchas Yaakov and others. It not seems to be like the Minchas Yaakov, but the Emunah Shmuel versus the Minchas Yaakov and others. So, says the this is the Shita of the Minchas Yaakov. Therefore, Vestes for Leil Tvila, but on any other night, she doesn't have a Vesses. And this is the Shita of the Emunah Shmuel. Nope, we have to interpret it as being Rishona Achar Tvila. What's the difference? The difference is, that's a big chumra, right? The big chumra is that according to Mrs. Yaakov, okay, it's not the normal way. Normally, Orthodox Jews are supposed to try to be intimate on it, right? Okay, one extra night every month, because of its metrics, and the world will not come to an end. Well, according to the Emunah Shmuel, their world will come to an end, because if they can't be together in the first Bia after Toveling, then they can never be together before Toveling, she's in Eden, after Toveling, first Bia after Toveling. then they are in big trouble.
Okay, again, not talking halacha and mice. Halacha and mice, when it really happened, they being much, according to being much small, it's not you trying to look for all kinds of weird circumstances, whatever. Maybe wait till she has a baby and dumb Torah, all kinds of weird things that we discussed earlier. That's not the point. The point is that this would be a chumrah. This would be a kula muteres chutz milel tvila. And this would be a chumrah. A tura liolam, you know, unless she does some of the favors to disprove it or to, you know, make weird circumstances. That's machlok to the piskei tshuva, sifkat mem dalet. Right? We'll give piskei tshuva numbers. That makes it easier. Right? Piskei tshuva, sifkat mem dalet. Now, let's think about this another way. What's the other nafkamina? Rasa pam achas. So let's see what each one would say, which is what Minchas Yaakov got up here. It got up test. Sorry, by Minchas Yaakov, I mean Torah Sashlam. The Akronim often call him, then Pesachim Chuvi usually calls him Minchas Yaakov. When the Pesachim Chuvi says Minchas Yaakov, hope we mentioned it already. He means Torah Tashlomer. Why? Because the Torah Tashlomer wrote many, many Chashuv Svarim. Torah Tashlomer is Rav Yaakov Reicher, the author of Shachos Yaakov, which is very, very Chashuv, and many important Svarim. The author of Iyon Yaakov on the bottom, name Yaakov, if anyone ever opened the name Yaakov. The author of Chok Yaakov, maybe last year we learned too. It was last year, Sachem, yeah. On the bottom, Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Pesach. The author of Minchas Yaakov, which is quoted all over by the Achronim in Isser V'Heter, the Torah Tanakh Ramah, and the author of Torah Tanakh Plamen, and many, many other Sfarim, the author of Ezer Mikodesh on Eben Ezer, many, many Sifrei Halacha. So Minchas Yaakov was like, I guess, his most famous one. So the Pesachim Chu will say, I know the Minchas Yaakov, and he just means the Torah Tanakh Plamen right here on the dot. Good enough. Anyway, to Fed B, Minchas Yaakov, Torah Tanakh Plamen. So what if she sees once the lel tefillah? Then what happens? Well, let's take the two approaches. Here she would have a besen she'eino kavua lel tefillah, right? And here she would have a besen she'eino kavua le. So which the chumra, which the kula? Now, interestingly, it gets reversed. Why did it get reversed? This becomes a chumra. Litros ha'akas yomel tzvila. And this becomes a kula. Why? Because if we tell her she has to be porish once for the first bia after tefillah, then she has to get divorced and be porish forever.
Why?
Because next time she goes to the mikvah, she has to be porish and not do the first bia after mikvah. Well, if she can't do the first bia after mikvah,
it just be for one cycle.
For once. Unless he holds like the Chabas Das, which I'm not sure, but I think here, there was some identifier, which is Leil Tefillah. Over here, the only identifier is first Bia. So how are you ochre that without refraining on the first Bia? But you can't refrain on the first Bia. There's no way to identify when here. There's a way to identify which day to refrain. Leil Tefillah. Over here, how do you know which day to refrain? You're saying refrain once a cycle. It's interesting. I hadn't thought of that. Either the answer is that somehow that is not called refraining once, or you don't like the Chavos Das. I'm not sure. He says a kula. Kavan di eftar lehachmir. Vazeh Well done, right? Because what's the rule? They weren't gozer besa she'im kavua. That would make you, let's say, better. Hey, bud. Hit, hey, Oscar, the olam. Low gozer. Because they weren't gozer besa she'im kavua, they'd make your Oscar forever. So you can't tell the reports once your first via after mikvah, because then she would never be able to go to the mikvah, and therefore it's had to go. The chumrah turns into a kula.
Stronger than that, is that if she's gonna have to wait until the next tefillah, it's like I just said that. You said that that's the change of wood, then you're high.
Okay, maybe it comes in. Okay, come down to the same thing. You know, right. You get to the same place. The Maitha, that's why the Emunah Shmuel had to change the Gersa in the Shulchan Aruch. Like, he found the Smach, because in the original Gersa it says B'leil Shel Tfilasa. Said, should have said L'el Tfilasa. Must be, because it already said L'el Shemi, and then the printer forgot the word for Shemi. Okay, Smach. The most people do not agree with the Emunah Shmuel. Here, he said the Emunah Shmuel, hold on, so how does our Mechaber make sense? If she saw once on the L'el Tvila, then it's really best she ain't go for the first bia, not for the first night, and therefore she shouldn't have to keep it at all. So that one, he changed the mechaber. But no, she saw once on the second night, meaning she was with her husband the first night, no blood. Was with her husband the second night, there was blood, and therefore, we're kosher. It's not the first bia afterwards; it's the second bia afterwards, but it's the second night. Therefore, kosher to the second night, and therefore, what do you do with the mechaber in Sif Yud? Let's just end with what the Girsa. Here we have the original Girsa. Even though if you look inside the Torah Sashlam, he says, it could be that he might be right about the Girsa, but it doesn't matter. Meaning, you don't need to change the Girsa. The original Girsa, Leil Tvila, and after Leil Tvila, she has to be Torah once, or Leil Shel Tvila, whatever it is. And here he changes the Girsa. That's why you might be so sure to change the Girsa. He changed the Girsa to Leil Shemi Shel Tvilasa. And Leil Shemi Shel Tvilasa means not that they didn't sleep together until Leil Shemi and then she had Roma Hatashi. They slept together and she was clean. They slept together Leil Shemi and she found blood. And then it makes sense. She just be kosher to Leil Shemi.
And the making some kind of investigation via is to frame or is that not?
Okay, here I admit it gets a little, judgment calls that I wouldn't know how to make, but somehow they were willing to make the second night and not the second via. Agav, some that I want to point out here maybe it's on the page. That in general, we're choshesh for things that, like, were the day before might be part of what caused the veses, but 2 and 3 days before, we say two unrelated. Like, we'll see in Kofei Tats, a lot of similar things about, things that are like the day before might be relevant. More than that is just coincidence. Exactly. That's all they're going to say. And that's pretty going to be, that's pretty clearly implied all over some of the texts. Okay, so that's why he changed the Girsa to, Leil Shemi. Lemaisa, the Dagomer Vava, agrees with the Torah Shlomo, the Dagomer Vava here. It's the Dagomer Vava at Dur Tinyana. So it's, in some Shulchanos might be in the back, and mine is on the side. He basically says that if you have three times a Leil Tvila, she should just skip be part of a Leil Tvila and then can sleep together the next night with the wife and Torah Shlomo. And yes, because once it's kavua to be ochre, you have to do it here three times. And kavua for sure, you need a logical scientific argument. And just give me half a second. And yeah,
if you look at the Taz Yudalad, he says, even though there are Krona want to be Nidchak, but yeah, I think Pashut Shah is clear. Zeino Domer, the next Ramal talks about the first Bia. Zeino Domer, Lashkatu Shavanar, Kosal, and Yashatu Yisrael Tvila. Being Shona is not like the Nine Tvila. The Shona, Tolly Yashash, but also Lila Dafta, and the Machaber had to do with that night alone. So what does the Tanakh say? Tenno, when do you have a Odessa Biri Shona? When it's different amounts of time. You know, it's 2 days after, and then 3 days after, and then 5 days after. That's Biri Shona Achar Tfila. But if it would all be the same night, then you attribute it to the night. So the Maisa, the weight of the Achronim is on the side of the Minchas Yaakov. That's clearly Moshe Shana Tach. Now, Moshe says there's the Vesas for Biri Shona. Says that's only if it's not that night. But I mean, that night, we blame the night, not the Biri Shona. So this is the Taz and all the original gears in the Machaber, keep in mind. The Taz reached the Tatan Yadalid and the Dogmeir Father. The Dogmeir Father says a few times again, there's a Dogmeir Father Matur Kinyada, meaning what he added later, which in some Tokan arcs is in the back and some is on the side. So it might be in the back, might be on the side, but he says it twice in this seven. Yeah, this is all talking about Machmas Hashrish, but I think they would say the same things if it wasn't Machmas Hashrish. Let's say you see three times the level and not Mach. Oh, if it's not Machmas Hashrish, then you really can't have this question. You're right. So it only comes out Machmas Hashrish, right? Meaning, you could probably find some parallel, but it would be a vague parallel, right? So that's what I mean. If you get Rasa, Machmas Hashrish, Nimtah. If not Machmas Hashrish, then you're not going to be Machmas. Correct. You know, and by the time you try to find a good parallel, you'll probably get a problem.
Would it, that first night she saw, and then at Machmas Hashrish, after she left her, but it was the first night, and then the next two times it wasn't the first night?
Then I think everyone would be Machmas saying we really show. Yeah, I'm fairly confident. I don't think it's black and white, but okay. So that's the first issue, why he sticks it. And Lamaisa, not that this really comes up a lot, I wouldn't say Lamaisa, but Lamaisa, the weight of the Achronim is on the side of the Torah Hashlokah at this one. Although, not necessarily another, let's see. In this one, at least. Okay, let us continue. Then, Vimrasa Shalosh Pa'amin Kol Pa'am V'Biya Rishona Sha'achar Tvilasa. What if she sees three times, each time in the first Biya after Tvila? This is the Ramah. Right, now remember. Being little Shmuel would say, whether it's the first night or other nights, she was coming in the first Bia after Tvila. And the other, the Taz here and the other Achronim, majority of Achronim say, you know what this means if it's not always the first night. So then we have to bring on the Bia. So what happens then? Asur Labala, Kila Rasha, Shal Spam Ritzufin, she is Asur to her husband just like three times in a row. What? Because just like three times in a row means you're coming for every Kashmir. Three first Bias after Mikvah in a row, you're going to pay for every first Bias after Mikvah, which practically is just as bad. Because if you can't do the first Bias after Mikvah, then you can't do any Tashmish. That's what he means. Being Kovea for the first Bias after Mikvah is just as bad as being Kovea for every Bias. Because the mindset makes you unable to live with your husband. So you have to live full of Shabbishima, right? Because even though she's only for the first Bias after Tfilah, but she can't be Tovel and sleep with her husband. Shahari Hebrew Kopama Tfilah, because she's Moksa. Every time after Tvila, and therefore you're in trouble. Okay, that's just the only finished thought. There's such a thing as a Vesis of first Bia after Tvila. We saw Machlokis. What if there are two possible interpretations? Well, let's say there's only one possible interpretation. It's not the same night three times, but the first Bia. Then there's a Tvias Vesis for first Bia after Tvila, which is very, very, very bad. Which is very, very, very bad. Okay, one other, just before we go on. I want to mention one other machlokas that's in the Pesach Tshuva, Sifkatan Mem Dalid, which is, he says, Va'ayinot, in the middle he says, Va'ayinot Mechaz Yaakov, she knows Mohaka, Be'isha Shorosha, Sholos, Bama, Patash, Hopa, Mulehok, Bibasa, three Lel Tfilas in a row, this is what we just said, Yimuteres Chakav Lel Shol, Tfilas, she knows, so the first night, we're to the second, I can attribute it to the night. The Cholakal and Munishmol, if you ever hate, Shagas Khalil Hakal Zebuzakas Lahakal. Munishmol said Khalil Hakal, they mean we blame it on the first Bia. And the Mechaz Yaakov, most Achronim blamed it on the first night. Okay, but now he says, oh, him. See, now the Minchas Yaakov is another kula. The first kula of Minchas Yaakov, most Achronim agreed with. But the second kula of Minchas Yaakov, most Achronim agreed with. The old hensi, the Rasa Gimel Pam Ritzutim, the Yom Yadua Lachodesh, Machmas Tashmish. What if she saw three times in a row on a certain day of the month, Machmas Tashmish? The Eina Asur Rakla also Yom Yadua, Ayin Shan, Vichuli.
Of what's this? Let's.
Again.
No, not yet. Well, this is going to be a little parallel, but the Psak will be different. Let's make ourselves a little later.
What if, now again, remember the if. Hey, if she saw Machmas Tashmish three times, let's call it Rosh Chodesh to make it simple. Three times of Rosh Chodesh, but in between, lots of clean Tashmishes. Then she has a very, very clear basis. On other days, she's not wrong Machmas Tashmish. On Rosh Chodesh, she is, right? That is Rashi's shot at the price of saying in Yeshla Vesses. So from now on, every night of the month, she can sleep with her husband because she's not Romach Tashmish. And in Rosh Chodesh, she can't because in Rosh Chodesh, she is Romach Tashmish. That's not the discussion here. That's not ambiguous. Here we're talking about another ambiguous case. She sees three times in a row on Rosh Chodesh with no bivs in between, clean or bloody. Three times in a row on Rosh Chodesh with nothing in between. There's a way to interpret it. You could say it's three bivs in a row. She's Romach Tashmish. Or you could say, no, it's only Romach Tashmish Rosh Chodesh. There are two ways to interpret it. Not like the most obvious case where she also has times not on Rosh Chodesh where she's clean. Nothing in between. So what about this case? Romach Tashmish, Gimel Pe'amim, Rosh Chodesh, and there's no bios in between. There are two ways to interpret this. Says the Minchas Yaakov, I'm going to continue my agenda. I mean agenda, a political agenda. I mean an political agenda. You know, what he thinks is logical. I'm going to continue my agenda whenever there are two ways to interpret a Vesses. You have to interpret it in the more vacant way. And therefore, what's more vacant way is not only a Vesses, the Rosh Chodesh. Yeah? I think, and again, he doesn't say it's only Rav Zash or in general, because this always comes up from this comes up from Rav Zash. I think it would go. My impression would go as far as possible, because my impression of the Michas Yaakov himself, not talking about how we pass in, is not saying a local, in this case, this I think makes more sense in this case. I think Michas Yaakov himself is a principle. That you always interpret it in a way that is the most makel. Why? Not that you want to be makel necessarily, but because, like, until you've proven a Vesses, you haven't proven a Vesses. And therefore, you know, therefore you can't prove more than you than you've proven.
What happens if you have a case where you throw it three times on Rosh Chodesh, three separate, and if there was one via in between, and it all fell down? That's not
true. Yeah.
I mean, that's
not good.
She has to talk about
Rosh
Chodesh. That's how we
prove that. No, then Rosh Chodesh, different day Rosh Chodesh. Before the third Rosh Chodesh, she's a regular Roman Tashmish. No, that's considered proof.
Let's say she's three Rosh Chodesh.
No, that's considered proof.
What?
The case
that it was
first Lael,
Vila,
or
second Lael, that's not three Roman Tashmish. Are you saying there's
Vila?
I'm saying there's three Rosh Chodesh in a row. So we interpret that to be a Rosh Chodesh.
Right.
Then the next time she is Vila, it's not a Rosh Chodesh. And she draw it down. So now all we know that that was because of this hadapa that she had, or maybe she just one time she felt. I mean, we don't assume that the event of kavua. And if you took away the first event of kavua, which we know is only about Rosh Chodesh, that she interpreted it. So now she draw it down.
No, no. So I think that we will see in Simon Kuf. I apologize that I keep saying this in Simon Kuf test that that's called an igloim also of a proof that wasn't Rosh Chodesh.
No, it wouldn't be going to sit as a proof that she's from a regular vet that's not Hodesh. That's the world for beyond Rosh Hodesh. I mean, I haven't had passage, but she felt three times in a Hodesh. I mean, I thought part of his clue was that
no.
One of those common vestos is that's not Hodesh.
No. No, Adrah, because it's more makel to say it's only Tashmish on Rosh Chodesh than to say it's every Rosh Chodesh. I mean, actually, it's not true. I was going to say more makel, but it's less ambitious. You know, it's less assumptions. Basically, you want to make the least assumptions. You can assume every Tashmish makes her bleed, or you can assume only Tashmish or Shkodesh makes her bleed. You have to make the smaller assumption that Tashmish or Shkodesh makes her bleed.
Tashmish and nothing there, they have to have Tashmish.
So you can say every Rosh Chodesh makes her bleed, or yes, only Tashmish and Rosh Chodesh make her bleed. You have to make the smaller assumption, only Tashmish and Rosh Chodesh.
Also, what about smaller Rosh Chodesh that she's not bleeding?
That was then, this is now.
No, I'm saying the next Rosh Chodesh comes and she didn't bleed, so now, like, you can be with that, but on top of it, she bleeds only on
Yeah, okay. The truth is, I take it back. I don't mean he says whichever's more mako. I mean, what he says is he always makes the minimal assumption about when you'll bleed. The minimal assumption is only Tashmish over Chodesh. Not every Tashmish and not every Rosh Chodesh.
What does the minimal mean?
Mean to assume the least scenarios will make you bleed possible. And only Tashmish over Chodesh. Those limited set. Good. Okay. So that is the Minchas Yaakov. Of course, the other possibility is
Roam Achmas Tashmish, just a regular Roam Achmas Tashmish, right?
And coincidentally, you've done Chodesh for those three times in a row. So are you a regular Rosh Chodesh, or are you only, this obviously has a tremendous Nafkamina, right? Because, so what would that mean is, this is a Kula.
She does Poreshes called Rosh Chodesh, and this would be a Chomra, which means Tizgarish, right? She'd have to get divorced.
So, this, the Minchas Yaakov,
or the plumber, right,
is Mako in this case as well. However, in this case, most Achronim do not agree with it. After all, the Taz, even though the Taz sound like Torah Shlomo in the first Machloket, if you continue reading the Taz, it sounds against the Torah Shlomo. What does the Taz say? If you continue reading the Taz, you're Dalit. It says, Ella, the question is that she just has to call Isha Shirasa Shalom to the obviously, these three times first via after tefillah, that's just three times. Isn't that obvious? Just three times in a row? Meaning, what's he saying? You could interpret it as three times first via after tefillah, or as three times. There wouldn't be enough kamina, but conceptually, there are two ways to interpret it. You interpret it as three times. The Taz assumed it was three times in a row, and you could interpret it as based on a pattern, or stop, or just Ramash Mastafit. You think just regular Ramash Mastafit. Therefore, the answer is the Chiddush of the Kiddush the Ramah is not that three times, first time after mikvah with nothing in between is Ramacham Sashtras. That's obvious. It's three times in a row. Three times in a row, we don't care about the pattern. Ramacham Sashtras. That Kiddush the Ramah is, even if it would be a tether in Avlishim, in Tayyim, you'd be a Shalheter, Zemahani, Zemahar, and Homokam, Lo Mahani. Okay, the big deal in the Echronim. Be a Shalheter, he means queen Bias. He doesn't necessarily mean permitted Bias. But what he said, but you could have a, you know, and now the affirm argument, what's the scenario? Basically, the Chiddush the Ramah is you had Bia, first Bia after Tefillah, blood. Bia, no blood. First Bia after Tefillah, blood. Bia, no blood. First Bia after Tefillah, blood. Now she's Mochsak. First Bia after Tefillah. But if it had been Bia after Mikvah, blood, Bia after Mikvah, blood, Bia after Mikvah, blood, that would be regular Ramah Tashmish, which proves that he's not like the Torah Sashlamit. Tarsh Lama doesn't have to care. He's also an Afron. But this is the Taz Sitkatnu that was rich, so Sitkatnu Dalit. By the way, you can actually have a scenario where she didn't do an Avera and that happened. After all, first be after Mikvah blood. How can then she have another be without blood? Either she did an Avera or after Mikvah, she slept with her husband twice. And checked herself after the first one and left it till the morning to look at. Checked herself in the second one, left it the morning to look at. Found blood on the first, not the second. Okay, and there's lots of other clever scenarios. Anyway, Lemaisa, he quotes all the Achronim against the Minchas Yaakov in this. Let me just read all the Achronim. Ayin Chavistashi, Hisigalav, Helosh Asura, Gamma Sidri Tara, Heraklach, Lugazeth, Gamma Chubis Kam Stofer, Kasper, the Halilu, Hakel, Badeh, Chikain Mashma, et cetera, except for some other weird cases, Mako. Basically, all the Achronim, the Chavistas, the Sidrei Tara, the Chasam Sofer, all the Achronim are against the Torah Shlomim on this. L'maisa, no one passes like the Torah Shlomim on this. And we, even though there seems to be some parallelism to the Tumach Lokos, the Torah Shlomim always says you take the minimal set. You had a good way of defining that. You take the minimal set, the smaller set, and others said you take the larger set, but we don't pass the same in both cases. When you have something that could be interpreted as first night or first via, we interpret it as first night. when you have something that could be interpreted as bia and Rosh Chodesh for bia, we interpret it as bia. Whenever you have three in a row, you are in trouble, which means that in this case, we only blame it on the first night if there was the clean bias in between.
Depending on what you do to talk before, why should we say here that it's a more cup? Meaning, why the fact that there'll be in between, and what can we all say now that it's a more cup?
Which is exactly what the Tarsh Lama says, more cup of Rosh Chodesh and Bia.
That's
Rosh Chodesh plus Bia. Yeah. Okay, that's what I meant. Yes, I realized I wrote in a way that was very misleading. I apologize to anyone who fled. My fault. Anyway, if it's more Rosh Chodesh plus Tashmish,
but we talk about that we do three Tashmishes in a row, we do not blame it on the Morkov. We assume she's just Romach was Tashmish.
Not sure if this has an acronym anyway, but are we just passing, like, what's the baseline that we're passing? Like, are we passing a baseline that really we take the smallest set of when there's a, like, there's a sequence of quotes, and then that's the overriding principle, or?
That is a great question, because I understand exactly what you're saying.
And the pod brings, they definitely bring
I'm not sure, because either way you get into trouble. At some point, by the time we finish, by the time we finish up Amida or even complete text, you'll have patches either way. So I'm not sure. Let's see if we can prove it one way or the other. But right now, I'm not sure. Okay. Bottom line is that we pass again. Now I want to read through the second half of this sif. The second half of this sif, as you might have noticed, is a big balagan. It's all based on one of the reasons big balagan, because it's not based on a Gemara or Rishonim, meaning sort of classic Rishonim. And if you call anyone for their own Rishonim, it is based on Rishonim. If you had bought it, based on right before the Ramah. It's all based on a tshuva of Rabbi Yochanan. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure someone's sure. I'm not sure. Rabbi Yochanan is in the Hagol Shari Dura. Who has this case, the woman had childbirth, and everyone was a little uncertain exactly what the case was, and you can have a lot of Ian on this, although maybe we'll just stick the Pashup Shal Ramah. What does the Ramah say? The Ramah wants to give a kubah. Basically, you have the basic idea of the Ramah, I think, is clear. It's just working out the side details that gets a little tricky. What's the basic idea of the Ramah? Let's read it. If it happened to a woman, she should three times in the first bia after childbirth. Or she sees after each childbirth three times, meaning either the first time after child A, the first time after child B, the first time after child C, or three times after child A, let's say three times after child B, three times after child C. Either way, she's muhsak. That after a child, she's going to be Roma Tashmish. But in between, she did not, meaning she had Tashmish without seeing. She had clean Tashmishes. Yay, she cost for Lahakir. So apparently, in this scenario, she should logically be Asur, Asura, but the Yay, she cost for this, I go, Shari Dura is Mako because of a specific. Kiddush Kula, what's the Kiddush Kula? Latira Labala, Kitalina, interesting, what's that word, Latira Labala, the Peskei Tshuva's Medayik, again, not the Zalcha Laisa, but the Peskei Tshuva quotes from a bunch of Achronim here in Membab, the Medayik. They were only Mekel, like to let her stay with her husband and not get divorced. But if she has blood, she still has to count Shiva Nikim and go to the Mekel. They weren't Mekel to say that if there's blood in Tashmish, we attribute it to a Maka. Say she doesn't need mikvah, just because she doesn't need to get divorced. Okay, but what was the kula? He told Lina Narmiya, basically we're told of a maka. The kula is, they were told of a maka even though we have no specific maka evidence. That's the chiddush of Rosh Aridura. She should be a sura, but they're not cool up to leave a maka. And that's where the Tzvichuk of the Kronin, we're only told since the big chiddush we pull of a maka. There's no evidence of a maka. They never put that in those days, right?
So first of all, I'm
over my head in history of medicine because one of meaning what Barislavsky says that after childbirth often there will be a maka that Tash will cause the bleed. Here, this I don't know the medical history so well. First of all, I trust my ghost every year. So if it happens nowadays, happens those days, it fits in. But I'm saying it's a little different because often what causes the maka nowadays is, at least for Tashmish, is if a woman had stitches in the delivery. In those days, they didn't have the whole idea of stitches delivery. Well, she does purposeful care, usually, et cetera. Meaning, at the Metzias, it's a little different. Nowadays, often, if a woman went stitches after delivery, that wound takes a long time to heal, and Tashmish could irritate it, etc. A woman, not a stitch, but a needle. That makes it bad.
Then you have a maka that you don't bleed.
What?
And then you have a
yeah, correct. In those days, but again, but I'm willing to take the shot or go show you that even before they had cuts and stitches and whatever, maybe some woman would have tears anyway. Meaning, okay, there's a lot of medical debate over this whole Indian, over a lot of medical debate over like what used to be in the old days before they made new cheetahs of like purposeful cutting and stitching during childbirth. So I'm not getting into medical debate. But Maksa, let's take that Darshar Dura's word for it. He's not sure about it, but he's willing to be somekhan a little. What's he willing to be somekhan? So it's not to make her get divorced. We're told that the in her weakness because of the Leda, not weakness meaning her reproductive system is weak. That would be Damnida. But Shehukwat Stodin, Mikoha Leda. In that Stodin, they got cut because of the Leda. That Stodin got injured, got cut the Leda. Basically, we assume a Maka in the Stodin because of the Leda. And therefore, we're Mako. Lachim Ra Samach Leda. And that's what's the why we Mako. After all, Mehechi Tesi we Mako. Similar to Sipsayan. Remember, she has a Bedikin, feels something, and of course, on the same edge of the Bedikin cloth, make a pattern. This woman, she felt a lot during childbirth. And it was always after childbirth, which makes a pattern. So therefore, it's just like Siv Zion, if you put a pattern together, that could prove a maka. Likewise here, he's willing to assume a maka. The law harkach, the thrill, she's so right after Leda, and not a long time after Leda for the previous kids. So that's the maka. The lean of a Leda goes to lean of a maka. That's what he says. Okay. The call is there, and for other Rashim Shavain Legos or Rashona, she hopes to go be a Shalheter, a Shal Esther. This is only true if she had bios in between all those things. If she had bios, meaning after child A, let's say after child A, she had three bromachos hashmishes, she should have then been usher. But if she was over and clean bios in between for the next 2 years till child B, then child B, she had three bromachos hashmishes. That's only if she was ignorant of halacha, didn't have to have a shayla.
Sorry, you won't be willing to be naked on that case.
No, she has one baby, three mamas, she's not willing to be made to be told of Anaka. That's exactly what he's saying. Only if you had child A, three Ramach and Tashmishes, and then better. Child B, three Ramach and Tashmishes, and better. Child C, three Ramach and Tashmishes, and better. Then he's willing to be made to make it a pattern of a rug. If just Stam willing to give birth as three times with two of them, locally in the Veleda, let's speak of the Digger Scoferis, we can't attribute to a Maka of Veleda. Again, it could be that the Leda made some changes in her hormonal system, et cetera, that they don't need them, but that would help us. Whatever the case, we're not, and she needs to take a Shmoferis or to get divorced.
Why is she bringing me the
Shmoferis? What? Because that's the only option if she doesn't want to get divorced. Obviously, he holds that, like most three children, that, it's a, that you do take a Shmoferis after one person if you desire. Okay, or maybe some in the case of you're dealing with, like, that was what the woman wanted to do. You know, don't be the dying of it. No, this is not the chumash. Yeah, you like the shofar to a certain extent, but you have to know where to draw the line. Anyway, kids are, yeah.
Let me say that.
Small in your chapter.
In the first case, you have three times that for each child, then we call it maka. But isn't that the same thing? How can you have three times, see what three times for each child?
and then have more beer. This isn't exactly.
Avra.
Oh,
she adds you and a vigor. That's why he says Avra.
Oh.
Yeah, Avra, she adds you and a vigor. I get it. You could also think of all kinds of clever, weird circumstances.
If she had a baby, if she was grow up after Leda one time, and then the next time she had a baby, she would grow again the first time after, like, the first time after race, and then again.
But then it wouldn't be upright between.
Then the fourth. Then the fourth time she would terrace right after Leda, we'd also be told that matter.
Yes, precisely.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. Right. Okay. Now here you have a big diron in the shach and the bach and the tav, etc. Exactly what is the right gersa in that goshari dura? What does it mean? Did the Ramah copy over the gersa correctly, or did he copy over the gersa indirectly? Okay, the and is it avra v'rasa? Is it not avra v'rasa? Okay, there are subtle nafkamina ladina between them. Let's just briefly mention the machlokas as to like what's the scenario. Clearly, one thing is clear. The structure is clear. She saw in a way that would now, you would think would make her have to get divorced or do Dikash Koferis. But to this Yiddish of a maka, three of a maka or maka. Right? But what is the scenario exactly where she would be, asura to her husband, right? Okay. 1 second. So here it gets very tricky. What does it mean? Rasa sholosh pa'amim bevir rishona sha'achar sha'achar leidasa. What's this case of shalosh ba'amim after leidasa? So the I guess there are three basic scenarios, and maybe we will just summarize it briefly without getting every possible deal you can make from it. Where exactly is this woman holding? Says the shach, where she's holding is that she had, says the shach, what? Yeah. Leda. Roma Fastashmish Himmel Pa'amen. Bios. I don't like the phrase Bias Heter. I know all the acronyms use Bias Heter, but it's a confusing phrase because Bias Heter means there was no blood and there was water to do the Bia. So Bios, you know, bleed down, right? Leda. Roma Fastashmish Himmel Pa'amen. It doesn't really matter how many times you iterate. Let's say right here. You would think Gimel Pa'amen is Ra Machus Tashvish and she's now Asura forever. That's what you would think. But here is Ovra Vashimsha, right? Because she shouldn't have done this. This is Ovra. But here she is, Tuya Bamaka, and she's mother, right? She could be Asura, but the Chiddush is Tuya Bamaka. Okay, that's how he reads it, and therefore he has the Avra. The Shach and the Bach
the Shach and the Bach, the Taz and the Bach have slightly different cases. So for example, here is the way the Bach reads it.
Romach was Tashmish, Gimel Pa'amim, Shalo, Rebbe. Right? Not in a row. So therefore, choose not in a row, just various times. Leda, Romach was Tashmish, Gimel Pa'amim, Shalo, Rebbe. Right? That's the shot puts here. Says the Bach, Rachar, her later Gimel Pa'amim, Shalo, Yeretzufim. Etc. And Leda Roma with Tashmish Gimel Pa'amim Ratzufim. So now you would think, truth is, he's even a little more of a Kiddush to the Shach. Even though it wasn't Ratzufim, we still blame it on the Maka. She should be Asura. Surah, but the Chiddush is Pliya the Maka. The Tatya.
This is where Machade the club the first time show that even the same as Tufin, there are two things that I like.
We don't say it's worse now. We don't say, oh, it's worse now. It's not like that. Okay, the Taz.
According to the box, you skip the first two steps.
What?
According to the box,
you skip. Like if you never had these two kids, then she'd be a Surah forever. They don't have no pattern. What?
A more times about my conscious and everything more made up to that.
Yes. Because I mean, well, I don't know what more made though. Here we did not serve. So
then you said he by the first two steps of the roadmap.
Yes, exactly. Just like Siv Zion. Remember Siv Zion? If the one does one but deacon finds on the corner, she's a Sura. But if she does another deacon and finds more blood in the corner, then and another deacon finds more blood in the corner, she becomes a terrace. Yeah, having more blood can make you more mutter if it makes a pattern that proves a maka. The one case, more blood makes you more mutter. It creates a pattern that leans on another maka. The chiddush here is that, obviously it's a bigger chiddush, it's not like in 1 minute, but at 6:01, she does a deacon find this corner of the cloth, 6:02 and 6:03. In 2012, she had something after Leda. In 2015, something after Leda. In 2017, something after Leda. We just take it to a pattern of a Baka. But it's not so crazy.
In the Shach state, then the fourth time she draw a Tashmish, what would it be?
I think same thing. What's the difference 3 and 4?
We blame it on the Baka. Three times, and then
so in the end, at some point, you're going to say at some point we have to draw the line, obviously, and have you know where to draw the line? The answer is I'm not sure. Let me just, if the Taz.
Right,
10 years later, we'll still blame it on the lead of the whole shit stuff.
Nah, yeah, she's
bald.
Yeah, she's bald.
No, but again,
that's
her time. She'd have Bios
for the next 10 years
and be down
everything.
Obviously, she doesn't still have a
mock up on the lead. The whole way that she has Bios after that.
No, but no, what he's saying is that she doesn't have another baby. She just keeps having a roadmap with Pashfish. When can we stop being Tola on the lead?
Oh.
So the answer is, I'm not sure. It's a good question. Yeah.
I'm trying to convince from a lot of Bach being just for the conference cycle, kind of make that thing sort of a maca. How can you go compare it to their qualitatively different themes? Meaning, that's
the finish,
I guess. But
that's the finish. Right. As a philosopher friend of mine used to like to say, that's not a kasha of my theory, that is my theory.
No, they'll point it here. You can say it's different. We're going to find that in a row with no respect.
What's bothering me is that we wouldn't, once we think that we could age well in the Maka, we wouldn't do that already the first time. That's what I don't understand.
No, but then we can do it the first time.
That's not enough.
Yeah.
It's very rare. That doesn't happen to most women. Well, okay. Now, again, I'm not saying you know you that you have a date with a doctor to tell you what happened during labor, et cetera. Okay. The Taz sees it a little differently. The very long Taz, very long Yikutza Kesef, who, okay, we'll just, sorry, briefly, and I really do want to want to move on. He views it a little differently. He says, here is the Leda. And then he also has the Einuit Sutin. Okay, or could be one. Better, let's say, Rom Achmas Tashmish. Once. Plus more Shalom Beretzef. But you could have however many. You have one, you have a few, without with Sufin. And then the Asetra. Oh. Okay, well, Shalom Beretzef, obviously, the Asetra, right? Leda, Rom Achmas Tashmish. Plus more Shalom Beretzef. Leda, Rama Tashmit, plus more Lomber Retza. But the ikker is, it's not the three. The ikker is that each time, meaning what's the three? This is the three that should answer her. This is the three that should answer her. The Taz read it differently. The three that should answer her are one, two, three. Because now what happens? Mazel Tov, she is a fourth baby. Now she should be Asura. That's how he's reading it differently. Now she should be Asura. Why? One, two, three. She must have a Beset for the first Bia after a baby. First Bia after a baby plus Tashmish, right? She should be Asura. She's a Beset Kavua. Let Bia Rishona Afar Leda. Just like there's such a Beset as first Bia after. There's such a vest as first be after Leda, but there's a chiddush of Tliya B'maka. Okay, in the end, by the time he finishes destroying the Taz, and then Kudus Akepa, he agrees partially to the Taz. He says, yeah, it could also be a scenario similar to that as well. Lemaisa, these are just different ways of reading the scenario. Okay, one could tease out maybe all kinds of cases where one person might be Makra in somebody else's scenario or not, but we're going to leave that now. Different ways of reading the scenario. Lemaisa, whatever the scenario is, you end up with either because you just had three in a row or because you had three after Leda in a row, you end up in case where it should be a Surah, and the Chiddush is Tliya B'maka. Okay, let's go then. We just have to finish up the sif. Mil, kol makom shetzricha b'dika. Kol makom shetzricha b'dika. B'dika here in Shul Peres. Meaning anytime she has to get divorced or do b'dika Shul Peres. Nothing is laid out. This is a general statement. In Avra b'shimsha, what if a woman needs a b'dika Shul Peres and she violates the halacha and sleeps with her husband? Well, according to the husband, it's also Shul Peres. Right? Meaning, it's not b'dika Shul Peres. B'lo rasa, and there was no blood. Muteres, the chance for Jeshua Rasa, but other than Nigash Faris came early. After all, Nigash Faris is not to her, all the game Tashmit, because Nigash Faris is not to her, and we're willing to say Yashua Faris is similar to the Tashmit and it's a good test. Definitely similar to Tashmit and a good test. So therefore, that's Pasha that it is Matur, that is like a Kalachomer. Here we have Lachot in the Shach and the Api Rapharvi. Shach with the Lama Gimel, himself and the Avi Rav Ravi. How about Akira's Rovach of Tashmish? Said the Shach, the Ramah, right? Yeah. We disagreed. But I think that, is he interpreting Ramah? No. The Ramah and the Shach. And the Shach say one clean Tashmish. Avi Rav Ravi says you need three clean Bia. Okay, one clean Bia. Parallel language. Or three clean Bia. Okay, what's the Svara of the Avi Rav Ravi? The story is very clear. A Bechor Kavua needs three times Kavru. So, for the Abiyagmi, needs to be three Abiyagmi.
in order to get rid of Roa Stashwit for the Shachlis. What's the Svara? The Svara is that a Veses Kavua needs three Akiros. What's the Svara of the Rama and the Shach? They say, you want to have a homework because of Paris. That's a Svara. That's a if the Deves is Kavua, why shouldn't it take three times to uproot? So, all the acronym here. What? So, what's the answer?
I mean, because you say, in general, we discuss Kofaras. It's like a weaker Deves.
Yeah.
And the big Kula not wanting her to be.
Correct. So, but a lot of it is that we'll see there's something called a vestas pizza. A vestas that comes from jumping, a vestas that comes from an action. A vestas that comes from an action is weaker and can be uprooted once. That's what you're referring to, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the smara? The smara is a vestas, al yidei maisa, we'll see in kompetes, is uprooted with one Akira. So now, just the machlokes of the leader are growing it, so the Afi Rabbi wasn't stupid.
Right.
I mean, we don't paskin like him. We don't paskin like him.
And not that this might have been a call for my stuff,
but he wasn't stupid, so what did he hold? So there are a gazillion theories in the Achronim, just some of the Achronim on the page. What are some of their theories? Where Rabbi Akiva Eiger here says, Rabbi Akiva Eiger here says that, he holds that the Machlokes Rishonim. He holds that a Ves Halim Dei Maisa needs three Akiros. Again, it's going to be Paskin. What response? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Dogma of Rabbah, also says that he holds like the Torah there, that it needs three Akiros. Yeah, there are others. I think there's another answer, maybe that's not on the page, or yeah, okay, so we'll stick with what's on the page. That's what I promised to do. One theory is, says the Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Dogma Meir Vava, they say that nope, Papar Kishitas Hator Simon Kofpe Tess. That a vesis al yidei maisa, called a vesis kvitza, example jumping, sarech gimel akiros. So vesis al yidei maisa means gimel akiros. Then how does one b'dikas kofaris work? So you have to say, remember, the Avi Rabbi is not supposed to finish the Torah. It's not kvitza. And the Tavar debikas kofaris matira. And Nimtzadam al Stadei Hashkoferes. Right, I mean, he holds that the biggest for is not matter if it's clean. Because that's only one Akira, you need three Akira. It's only matter if it's one on the sides. That's the one on the sides. Okay, so that's the most common answer. The Akira here says it on the bottom, the dog right above.
Three times.
It doesn't sound like that in the Gemara. I mean, maybe, but that's not what they're going to assume. They doesn't sound like anymore in the Rishonim. Lemaitre, there are other theories. Also, some people say that very similar. Even if he admits that a Vesas al yidei maisa of jumping can be uprooted once, a Vesas al yidei kashmir, which is a more relevant maisa than jumping, because it's mamish internal. You know, it has to do with the reproductive system, maybe stronger, as we'll see. There's some bit mice that are stronger than others. Or the Dogma Rebbe suggests, no, maybe only Tashmish these three times because we're afraid that maybe there was blood which was just covered up by the Shechah Zera. Okay, lots of theories out there. We'll stick with one. Let's go weiter to Se'if Yeralef. Here on, it should be pretty straightforward for the rest of the seven. Isha Shirasa Machas Tashmish, Lachar Chatzi Shana Chazrosa Machas Tashmish, right? Exactly 6 months later, right? Meaning, what does she now have? She has a bet, and in between, let's assume, there were much of Tashmishes, right? So, I mean, the truth is either way at this point. So she now has a vesah she'ena kavua for a combination of what we call a flug of 6 months and tashmish. Right? So materis kavala she'er chom sholz vesah chavim v'lo b'divoy. She materis her husband. She has not had three vestos of the same interval or of an interval that jumps. She has to worry about the last case. Once, 6 months after the last time, she's reported one ona. And again, I promised you, the Pesach Chuba here said, Thomas Das says you can never reoker this because she did not sleep with her husband. And 6 months later, it's not a good replication. It's not a scientific disproof. And no one agrees with him. We say, so there's only a vest chain of kavoy. You can uproot it just by it not happening again. The cover vessel is Tamach was Tashma Shalos didn't the Gatha Shavi. What? Yes. And if she was Koveya 3 times at a certain time, Muteris Shamish Vessel Vessel, Achimia Vessel Paresha is to actually occur Shalos Pamir. Right? But if she was Koveya 3 times at 6 month intervals or Rosh Kodesh or what have you, then she's a Sura forever on that day and Muteris on other days. Until she uproots it 3 times. That's kavua. She can only uproot it 3 times by doing avera 3 times and doing the tashmesh and not having blood, which we hope she won't do others. Other details in the acronym here, but we won't go into that. Okay. Good base. Haromach mustash shol pam asher lahash tosa. If someone's romach mustash 3 times, he's not allowed to stay married to her. Like, meaning the Gemara says to get divorced. So someone could say, no, let's be very logical. Why do you have to get divorced? He should just not sleep with her. The answer is he's not allowed to stay married to her. Even if he doesn't want to sleep with her, he can't stay married to her. Unless Elam Kane, this is based on the Gemara of a different case in the Gemara, sorry, Kahuna, wrote a lash hosal yid shlish lo yelach etzla elo be'edim. Meaning, what's the point? The point is very clear. If I were to say, you see that woman on the street? If you see the cashier woman in the supermarket, I'm going to keep talking to the supermarket. Even though she's forbidden to me, and I promise I won't sleep with her. So you say, of course you won't sleep with her. You know, why would you? You know, we don't think everyone's going to sleep with everyone. But here, they're already married. So obviously, there's a close relationship between them, and we shouldn't trust them to never sleep together again. That's a very unlikely promise to keep. And therefore, if he wants to stay married to her, it has to be a special chorus. A, he can only support her through a representative. What do you call the guys in charge of your money? Yes. Meaning, he can't give her needs or money, etc., because she always has to come to him to get things. The longer I'm in a too close relationship, and therefore he has to point someone else to support her, to take care of providing her monetary needs, and he can't visit her without eating. Meaning, even in a case where there are many cases where I could view that Adim and still there's no Sir Yichud, right? Even if there's no Sir Yichud, he still can't be with her unless there's Adim there because it's like a super machber is Sir Yichud because of the two chomers. You need Adim and not just the word Yichud in the normal way. And he needs to not be responsible for personally supporting her because we have a heightened shash and that makes a lot of sense. If we skip, and in this case, why wouldn't they just get divorced in this case? Yeah, whatever the case may be, you know,
this would be until menopause.
Well, according to the Nodi Yehuda, since he treats it only as a vestet and not as a special disease, he's mekel with someone who doesn't have to keep misalekas gamim. So perhaps, yeah. Again, it's not likely to happen nowadays. Let's skip to Yudalit. Isha sheishlo makos uptam she'en yukol litvol. A woman who has injuries which make her impossible to tow them. Meaning, you know, let's say it's dangerous, right? Because a woman can't tow them. What? Oh, just because I want to compare your Dalit Sheet base to Lingodak. Because they're similar, right? They're both women who are in need of freif. Right? The first, because she's going off with Pashmish. The second, because she can't go to the mikvah for medical reasons. Hey, Timothy's Valka, the Chabad, very, very, she has to get divorced in order that he not, be mispatal from period for a few. Okay. The Pesachim Tuba does point out in Bay is that nowadays, Bezin doesn't force anyone to get divorced.
Isn't this case different than the case that the Rama discusses? I thought there that could hear the promise that there never goes to the mediator. Meaning, it's one step more.
Ebenezer,
when the Ramah discusses that, he's quoting the.
Ebenezer, Ramah says, nowadays we don't force people to do Puru.
That's the husband and wife taking together, they just have kids.
No! But it seems that his logic is why? Because of the Havamin of Bavasra, and the third peg of Bavasra, that after the Churban, people shouldn't sleep with their wives and have kids. So apparently, it's okay to not sleep with your wife and not have kids. Not that it's okay, but we don't force them.
Why is it different?
Okay, give me a second. So let's compare your days to your Yudalit. Your Yudalit says to get divorced, and your days also says to get divorced. Just your days gives you the like alternative. What about in your Yudalit? In your Yudalit, do you have the same alternative or not? So he actually, the Pesachim Tuba discussed this in an Aleph, but from the opposite angle, the opposite directionality of what Yehuda was implying. He says that he brings a suffix there from the base mayor, maybe your Dalit is actually, even though your Dalit doesn't sound more much than your base, maybe it's actually more making than your base. He's mistaken. It could be that in halacha your Dalit, he's allowed to stay married and even support her and even without Eden, as long as he avoids Eden. It could be that we're more making than your Dalit. I know that's not what it sounds like from the Pshat Lashon Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because Yudalit, she's a Asur D'Oraisa, because she didn't go to the mikvah. So maybe we trust him more than in your days. Yudalit, she didn't go to the mikvah. So maybe we trust him more to avoid sleeping with her. In your days, she did go to the mikvah. She did throw a machmas hashmash. So he has more temptation to sleep with her, because right now she's not in Eden. So says in your days, think of your days as an Isser Kal. She's not in Eden right now. Therefore, we're very, very suspicious. Yudalit is an Isser Kal. She's a total leader right now, and therefore the base page was suspect. Maybe in that case, we would allow them to stay married even without these chumras. Okay, again, it doesn't really happen a lot nowadays.
It seems like that's the far off the way that the theme of like one of them supported as, I mean, it doesn't far in debate.
If you think about it, yeah, the truth, that's a good thing. And Yudalit says you should divorce her for Puru.
Right.
What if you're going to get 10 kids? Then it sounds like you'll have to be married to her. So that, you're right. That's the base maker's law. It doesn't sound like Shasha Tashas. Correct. So that's base maker's something. It sounds like in your days we're worried about Avera. And in Yudalit, we're only worried about Puru, not Avera. Why? Because maybe in Yudalit we're not worried about Avera, because they'll take it more seriously because she's a need, because she's a total need. Let me go into something about that. Okay, I don't know how we pass it because it doesn't really come up. Yud Gimel, Habolos Habasula, Kama, Ha'amin Barasa Damach was Hashbish, right? Mary marries a Basula and she's Damach was Hashbish many times. La'ola Machazkina, she's Dam Basula. Achish Shamashpam Achas, we used to be Dam Basula, but not Ramach was Hashbish. Until when? Achish Shamashpam Achal to Redam, until the first clean Hashbish. After that, she's back to regular woman land. So as long as she keeps bleeding, we assume it's Basulim. She has one, we don't assume, but it very well might be, right? When she has one clean Tashmish, we assume the Basulim ended. And then if she bleeds again three times, we assume she's Ra Machbas Tashmish. That is the Psak of the Machaber. What's the Nafmina of that? Again, these cases of a woman is three times Ra Machbas Tashmish doesn't come up a ton. Nowadays, the Nafmina is for doing the three checks. Remember, it's like the first three times if we're not real Machmas Tashmish, what did I say? Wait till after one clean Bia, then do the three checks. Where did I get that idea from? From here. After all, it's only real Machmas Tashmish after Dam Basulim ends this one clean Bia. So you should only check for real Machmas Tashmish after Dam Basulim ends one clean Bia. That's where that minute came from. From this, if actually though, this is a Machlokes Rishonim. This is a Machlokes Rishonim. The din is clear in the Gemara, or in the Tosefta, that a basula is tolan dam basulim, is not a ramach was hashmish. Just how long did she assume dam basulim?
So here we have a machlokas. It's a machlokas acharon between the Bach and the Mechaber and the Ramah. Machlokas Bach. No, sorry, the Bach and the Mechaber versus the Ramah. Why? Because. Because what does the Gemara say? We'll learn. There's a whole parak of no longer Tola in Dam the Super. Right? Or Tiokas, the parak of Maseches Nida says, how long are you Tola? Well, if she's under 12, then and below the super base hello, then until it gets better. Meaning as long until she has a clean beer. What if she's over 12? Then four times, we're told that. What if she got her period once already? Then just one night. And et cetera, gets more and more macro in the Gemara. So now that's not talking about Romach's Tashmish. That's talking about in the old days when they said, not like we did, if you got married, not like what you did, when Dam Basulim was just totally gone and you didn't have to go to the mikvah. So basically the question is this, when we are tole on Dam Basulim to avoid Ramah from Tashmish, do we use the rules of the Mishnah? And if we use the rules of the Mishnah, then we should only be told of one bia. Because, not the Mishnah, Tami Gemara, Bulgaris, it's only one bia. Right, we're all Bulgarians nowadays. I mean, plus, Bulgarians is 12 and a half. Even the presbyters are even older than 12 and a half. Or do we say no? For to avoid Romach Mastashmish, because after all, Romach Mastashmish is not as common as Dam Basulim, then everyone goes with the most makal type of Basula, which is Achitefia Amaka. So basically, if you Tulia Bidam Besulim. So what do we say? Kitana is Ad Shetifya Hamaka. Stop. Until you get to Bogeris, which is the Ahas. What in Roman Tashmish, what do we do? Do we say the word Bogeris, we go to the Ahas? Or do we say, no, since there is precedent for Achatech Yamaka, we go with that because it's more likely, we know, we have an obvious scientific svara that Dam Basulim is more likely to Ramach Mastashmish. Right? The Gemara was, is it Dam Basulim or period? Okay. But here, this is for Tulia Dam Basulim. This is for if the two choices are Dam Basulim versus a period. And is told a lot, up to Bulgaris only told a little. What if the choice is Dam Basulim versus Romach Mastashmish? After all, now the odds change because periods are fairly likely to get Dam Basulim. Romach is fairly uncommon to get Dam Basulim, right? So the odds change. So that's where you have Machlokas, says the Mechaber and the Bas. They say, nope, all women. Achatechyamaka means literally until the maka heals, means until you have one clean beer. Why? Because Ramach Mastashmish is less common than periods, so it changes the odds. The Ramah says, no, Bafil lo paskal loros pa'achas. In Ein Lav, the Ramah is basically Choshish, based on the Maram Padma, says the Ramah, no, maybe it's the same. Same as the Ramah. Which means the Maisa, only one via, because we're over Geresis. Now, we start to change the calculation here. Maybe you're only Tola, just like in the Gemara Dam Basulim versus period. Same thing, you're only Tola Dam Basulim, since we're over 12 and a half once.
I think I would see that. I'm not sure that even if she didn't see, even if there was never a point at which she didn't see, then she'll, it doesn't mean one time, it's just once it becomes like not painful.
No. Let me finish my paragraph. Not my sentence, not my paragraph. You ignored the word me.
maybe same as above, but maybe the Mechaber's right. So our mom, it's a compromise. He says, so what's his compromise? Lamaisa, what's the Rama's compromise? That itchy the Rama compromise. If she has ba'ar, he'll be mako. If there's no tsar, he'll be machver. If there's tsar, he'll be mako like the machaber. And say, well, if it hurts, then I'll be mako like the techia maka. But if it doesn't hurt, then machver will only be told him one time. But from the second time and on, if it doesn't hurt, he's machver not to be told him to make her a robot with tashmish.
I thought there were no things that they what she's going to believe forever. But at what point are you going to say that she's going to believe the first 50 times after we're not going to see she has a halakha that she's drawn out of the past? Like, at what point are you going to say, no, she's drawn out of the past? We have to have a standard for that. Why did it suck?
I mean, the Gemara wasn't worried about that, right? For the Ketana who gets married, although unless you say eventually, you know, okay. I hear your Taina. I hear your Taina. Okay, maybe that was. Mahaber, you see the Mahaber disputes thing.
No, he's just talking about meaning.
He said, but that's what he says. You can't attack the Mahaber. What if it's 1,000 times? It's an interesting kasha of the Mahaber.
No, I'm saying that the Ramah has a very clear start when you would draw that line. Perhaps there's no desire. If she's still seeing down, then you know it's not down to Suleiman.
Okay. That is a good ha'ara. What he's saying is that let me say this a little better. That why does the Rama not like the Mechaber Sora? Because then ain't the herself. And if Ainda Darasofi has to find a way to draw the line, how does he? I mean, if you look inside the Maran Padre, it sounds like he's trying to compromise based on these factors, but I hear the time. Okay, how do you draw the line? Why? So, what does the Rama say? A female apostle is Pam Achas, even if she never had a clean bia, and Ainda's are published at Pastor, you're calling special clean bia, so she has no tsar for the second time in on. It doesn't mean the first time. Second time in on, she's like a real woman, and we don't assume she's with Rama Achas Pastor. Okay, how long will Maisa be passed like the Rama? But again, it doesn't come up a lot.
What about the women who have tsar for the hallway? I mean, someone, where's that line?
Right, and now girls are going to have a problem. What about a woman who just has tsar always? Some women have tsar always. I will point out, I think I've pointed this out once before already, that it's not such an uncommon thing for a woman to always have tsar from the kashmish. Once upon a time, the hashtag was I don't necessarily mean the Jewish one. But the Hashtag as a whole one was to just grin and bear it. Just deal with it. I think nowadays our Hashtag as a whole one is a little more advanced. And we say if a woman always has tsar from Kashmir, then she should seek medical advice. And there are ways to improve. Okay, but in any case, that's an interesting question. Even for the Ramah, and whatever. So, what if she always has tsar of Kashmir? How are we supposed to know if it's from the tool or something? Yeah, what if 1,000 times she bleeds an SR pastures? What about Ainda herself? It's a good question. I'm not sure. Okay, in any case, let's just finish up. So you go to Dam Minder, we Amashirish Isha Tolovova, and the comment, etc. Someone who bleeds from his Aver. Obviously, it's not a healthy thing, but I guess nowadays, if a man has blood coming out of his Aver, he should go to the doctor immediately, or the emergency room, or whatever. Seek medical advice. But in the old days, they didn't know how to cure things. And the truth is, like a kidney stone could cause blood to come out of the aorta. I mean, it's not crazy things, just nowadays, usually you catch it when you do a chemical test on the urine and find trace amounts of blood that are not visible to the naked eye. But once upon a time, they're not doing anything. So then, if he's Meshachrish, the woman's Tola in him, okay, that seems logical, and we'll see it in Simon Kof Tzai. Okay. Kof Pei Ches. Dine Maros HaDomen. Shmuel, when you get a chance, please. The Gemara says that only red blood is damida. If it's not red, it's not damida. The Sefer HaChinuch says something strange. The Sefer HaChinuch says if it's not red, that doesn't really match our modern science. Sefer HaChinuch says if it's not red, it's not from the water. Not red, it's from someplace else, and that's why it's not the tummy. The Mishnah points out that that doesn't match modern science. The Mishnah says that's not true. If there's a custom, any color can come out of the makor. The truth is nowadays, commonly, not every color comes out of the makor commonly, but many colors commonly come out of the makor. Red, brown, yellow, white. That's sort of the normal range, not like green and blue and purple. But the Mishnah says there's a custom. The Gemara actually darks it for a pasuk. You know, seems very much. That the Gemara darks for a pasuk, then dam has to be red. Okay, adumim kadam. He darks for a pasuk. It's a xeris akasuk. That red is called dam, and if it's not red, it's not called dam. Why xeris akasuk? And we pass like the Mishnah. You know, theoretically, there is no such thing. If you could give a woman a pill and it would turn all her menstrual blood green, she would not be in need anywhere the rest of her life. I mean, modern science is not even close to that. But it's just like there's a concept that red is called down, not red is not called down. Right. But also, it seems wrong.
Why that
would some of the Jewish. It doesn't matter. He means the secular sciences, but it doesn't matter. Like, we're really not, like, science is not up to that. There are many less drastic things that science can do. We're really not up to that. Anyway, that was a very theoretical thing. It's not like electric cars or something that just everyone doesn't own. No. It's like beyond the abilities of modern science. I just theoretically. Okay. Next. So the Gemara says that the Gemara darshins from the pasuk. How many reds are there? How many reds are there?
Four.
And therefore, how many colors are usher? Strangely enough, five. Because four reds are usher, five colors are usher. Okay, the four, we're not going to go through. I mean, there are some people who really are trying to like go on like hunting expeditions and find exactly the species and the places that Chazal were talking about and do the experiment, see what it looks like. It's a little hard because, you know, there's different kinds of everything from the plants to the meat to the soil, etc. So it's a little hard. And everything's different nowadays anyway. Clearly, our plants have changed and the animals have changed and the soil has changed and there's been a lot of environmental changes. So it's a little hard to figure out. But Lamaisa, I'm not one of them, so I haven't done any of the research. So we'll just leave it as Sarahian. What are these four colors describing? Kitchen, there are four shades of red. And the Gemara says plus black. Black is red, which is laka. Okay, I wish I knew scientifically how to translate laka. That would clarify a lot of things. Laka clearly means got worse in time, but what exactly that means, got worse where, when, how, why, not sure. But anyway, that's what we paskin, four shades of red and black. How are tummy? Other things are tar.
Black isn't just more congealed, like as you would see on scab or something like that. Like, that's a normal way that like, blood turns black. Congeals are.
Or oxidizes or something.
Oxidizes, like,
yeah. Could be. We're just not sure. That's one shot in like the modern day people trying to understand it, but it could be no. Maybe there's something in the rechem that went wrong.
Oh, like
We're not sure what they meant. Part of this ties into we're not sure what all these colors exactly mean, which we'll get to in a moment. The Maisa, what do we see? Remember how, like, for Ashkenazim in the days of the Ramah, the late Ashkenazim, we showed them 100 years before the Ramah, they started to be Nabucky and everything, right? That's not the timing here. Already in the days of the Amoraim, we mentioned Kapit Gimel, they were not Bucky and Marustan. They lost their Masora. So forget about us trying to recreate it, right? Already in the days of the Amoraim, they were not Bucky. And therefore, we got to a point where the Rishonim paskind that, and this is pretty much across the board, nowadays we're not Bucky in these different exact shades. So what do? Anything with any reddishness whatsoever is tameh because we're not sure what shade is which. Okay, that's the Psak Halacha Lamaisa. Let's read in the Mechaber. Kol Mari Adom. Any type of red shade whatsoever, whether it's very light or very, very deep, tameh, are all tameh. Chen Kol Mari Shachar. Likewise, all types of black. The Ein Tahar Elamari Lavam. The only thing that's tahar is white. I mean, it used to be, no, lots of shades now only white is tahar. The Chimari Yarok, and Yarok is tahar.
Yeah.
What does Yarok mean?
Yeah.
So it's one of these things. I actually read an article once in some like secular journal someplace about colors. How you name colors is very culturally subjective, culturally dependent. Meaning even nowadays, you can go to other countries and like someone in some faraway country will think these two things are shades of the same color, and you'll say, what do you mean? It's totally different colors. What are you talking about? I'm not saying they're colorblind. It's just like what you call shades of the same color and what you call different colors, we think is like objective and scientific, but it's totally societal and cultural. And therefore, for example, when Chazal say Yarok, the pashut shot is, what English words are included in Chazal's Yarok?
Blue, yellow, and green
are pretty clearly included in Chazal's Yarok, which is a weird thing for us to think, but that's what it seems to be. Now, Chazal have phrases for green. How do Chazal say green? Again, we say green Yarok in modern Hebrew. How do Chazal say green? Yarok Hikarti. Ah, it's that kind of Yarok, not the other kind of Yarok. Right? Okay. So, so only white and Yarok. Even I feel Marashava Ohazahav, even like wax or gold, which are wax and gold are browns, brownish yellows, right? Now again, what gold? Gold is a little funny because I'll tell us there's some kind of gold for red. I guess there means the normal gold they had in time of Rishon. The Kolchin are Yarok Hikarti, Okasav, for sure Yarok like leeks and grass, meaning for sure green. Even the yellowish browns, for sure, green. Of a chain marish according to Lotan Ashkenaz, blue on Yarok, and likewise blue. Okay, right there. But obviously, green and blue, not that those ever happened. Again, what happens is the range from whites to yellows, browns, reddish thingies. And among those, the Yarok is okay, and the reds and the blacks are not okay. Even if it's thick like blood, and it's very thick. She felt her mucker opening and checked right away. She find these. Meaning, even if it came from the mucker, right? She felt her mucker opening, came out, even if it's consistency of blood. Still, it's not red. It is tahar. I'm not sure, but I think smichos means like it's a thick viscosity. Is that what you call it? And av means there's a lot of it. Right, because something can be thick but still have a thin layer if there's just very little of it. There are weird shitas out there, right? Which we're not really going to give a ton of credence to, that say, well, if it has a consistency of blood, maybe it was really originally red. No. Okay, later on we'll see if she feels her marker open, she finds red. We know the answer. If she feels her marker open, she finds white or yellow. We know the answer. What if she feels her marker open, she finds nothing? That we're not going to know the answer until it's in the Kuftari. He's just telling us, like, you should know there's another possible case, but we're not talking about that now because it's not relevant to our sinner. So halacha lemaisa, it's funny. There are these weird shitas in the late Rishon Ashkenaz who are mashmir even on a mari tahar if it is thick, but that shita is nidfes mehalacha, meaning we're not choshish for that. We're not choshish for that at all. And even though, The Pesach Tshuva brings down this of cut and base. If you're looking at the Pesach Tshuva base, the Shlad of Kuf and base Kasav, the Zelashonov, or Shal Kasav, the Yarek Sarachiyah.
Kimara Mintz, Kasa Bichuk, and Shemi Dolan, Dustrin, and Gam Bigarok. After all, there is some Shita that nowadays we're so not Bikiyam, even Asher Yorok. Therefore, in the Hakel, Bim Hiros, et cetera, Fitchava, or Zah, unless the other son of the Hakel, et cetera. And even the Sibri Tara says maybe about Nefesh, Maker, Macher, the Axel on this. Halachal Maisa, we are not Macher on Yorok at all. Rav Moshe Feinstein has brings down there's a minhag. Where there's a myth that on the first 3 days of Shemini Kiyam, there were Machra and Yarok. But nowadays, no one is knowing that way. So Lemaisa, there are these weird, there are these strange shikos floating around. Okay, I guess that's a little less than our there are sheep just floating around there. Okay. You saw that in Sheva Levi here on the Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
Okay. So, on Yorok.
Yeah.
Okay, there are these sheep out there that are machmer on Yorok, right? There's the Shla who says that maybe nowadays we're machmer everything in Yorok. Maybe if it's thick, the Shemazadesh brings down some people are machmer. Moshe said we were machmer the first 3 days. Nowadays, our meaning is very clear. We're not machmer in Yorok. Shalom al Yisrael. You know, it's our meaning is not to be machmer in Yorok. That's pretty much the whole world. Is meaning is not to be machmer in Yorok. So let's discuss what's interesting. What's interesting? What's a little interesting? The shops have come days. What if it's not white, but like a light gray, like white with a little dirt? After all, a dark gray should be called Mara Shachar, a type of black. Not that dark grays really are common or really fat, but a light gray is okay. All right, but those are not typical things that happen a lot. Of course, what color is the most intriguing? And really, you could talk for a month about this and still not be sure where you end up. What color is the most agav? We should just know that the Shulchan Aruch says, "Kol Mari Shachar, any shade of black." I like it, but any shade of black, like even a dark gray, that's somewhat debatable. Then Shilas Yabitz or Yaakov Emden says, "No, we're only not wearing any shade of red." Not any shade of black. Only any shade of red and pure black, and jet black. Now we're most often agree with Machaber, any shade of red and any shade of black. It doesn't come up really, so it's not something that we know. Of course, what's the biggest issue? Finish. Brown. Brown is the biggest mystery in the world. Why? Because the Rishonim did not discuss brown. The Rishonim did not discuss brown. So there were always brown things. The Rishonim did not discuss brown. So why did the Rishonim not discuss brown? The answer is not the Rishonim decided not to discuss brown. That's the most ridiculous thing ever. The answer is the Rishonim did discuss brown. We just don't understand their language. Did you get the order right? Okay. The Rishonim did discuss brown. They did discuss brown. They meant it by one of the words they said. So there are three possibilities as to... three possibilities as to they had to discuss brown. It can't be they didn't discuss brown. It included in one of their words. What are the three possibilities of what brown is? Maybe brown is a shade of red. It's not the most classic red. It's a mare. It's one of the shades of red. Brown is a shade of red. Of course they discuss brown. Red. Truth is, there are a lot of people who aren't bringing a lot of proofs. Again, I said, there's a lot of proofs going every way. There's a lot of dechios. It's very hard to get badosh, but there's all these fascinating questions. What color is a paraduma? Brown or red? Interesting question, right? On the one you say red, brown cows aren't so rare. On the other hand, no, maybe brown cows are rare that they wouldn't even have two hairs of another color. Two black hairs, you know, or two white hairs, etc. All these fascinating questions. What color were the red horses in Zachariah's Nebuah? Were they red or brown? You can't ask a scientist to answer that, right? It was Nebuah. It could have been anything.
You know, but interesting question. Maybe were they brown horses like most people rode most of the time? Or were they red horses? Because in the Nevada, you can have any color you want. Et cetera, et cetera. Right? Halitani numin ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. With the lentil soup. Our lentil soup is brown, no?
Yeah, our red lentil.
What? Go figure. You know, what's the math? 3,500, more than that? You know, 3,700 years ago in Eretz Yisrael, what strain of lentils they had? So again, everyone speculates whatever they want. You don't know. What's another possibility?
That, well, okay, maybe, just we'll put it in the next one. Maybe it's a type of black.
Brown is like black. After all, you know what? If you put a lot of brown things on top of each other, it starts to look black. What?
What's the last possibility?
The thing narrow. After all, if beeswax yellow or brown, brown, gold, I mean, there's different kinds of gold. Although pure gold should have a color. They call it yellow, but it's not what we mean by yellow. It's really brown, right? So, you know, beeswax is more yellower than beeswax than even gold. But let's assume we mean 24 karat gold. It's, you know, meaning brown is a darker yellow. I mean, all of these are possible, right? All of these are possible. I really can't scientifically or historically give you a good proof one way or the other. Everyone has theories, and all the theories have like cool things they tie into, but none of them actually have proofs. It's all speculation. So we really don't know what brown is. So what do we do if we don't know what brown is? Okay, we look at the poskim and see what the poskim say that we should follow. So that's discussed. What are we supposed to do? We look at our Masorah. We ask our Rebbeim. So, we don't have to start now with the Rebbeim. In the Pesukei Tshuva, the end of Sukkot and Aleph, he says, V'ayim b'sidri tara b'shem matzasi kasuv. Okay, it's longer. Shedam anota l'tzeva brown. Okay, all of a sudden, now we know he's talking about brown. Although, of course, it's also tricky because what do they mean by brown? So he says, Shukein klipas armonim, like chestnut shells. I know what a chestnut is. Now, yeah, from here to the Sidrei Tara, we're not talking about thousands of years ago. You know, I don't know, maybe I feel confident he had the same chestnuts I had. It's very tricky. It's very, very tricky. It's very tricky, I must admit. You know, nowadays we've solved that problem. Nowadays, what they did was, there's no natural way to solve that problem. But what they do nowadays is scientists have made standard color charts. And they just print a lot of them and make sure they're all exactly the same and mail them out. And anyone who has the same chart can talk about the same color with someone, they know they mean the same color. They haven't figured out an easier way to do that. I mean, not only that, scientists cannot get two people to communicate color accurately unless someone takes two identical charts and mails them to the two people. You can't email them to the two people because it'll look differently on your screen. It has to be a snail mail. Right? Meaning, if I want to email you a color file and make sure that you see the same color that I see exactly, I mean more or less than just normal technology, right? If I want to email you a file and make sure if you see exactly the same color I see, technology cannot do that unless we go to a printing press, print two pages at the same time, and mail you one and mail me one, and then each of our cameras like looks at it and like calibrate the color. It's really hard to describe colors.
Everything like
practically, right? Conceptually, you can define colors by wavelengths, etc. But that's not going to help in technology because how do you know how to make the right wavelength unless you have part to accelerate or whatever, flying machine, right? Really, in industry nowadays, the only way they do it is the standard color charts. That's where, you know, if you wanted to, let's say you wanted to, okay, we'll have to stop. You want to make an app. Okay, very controversial. There are some rabbis and I'm not happy about this. Who pass in colors over a WhatsApp? That is a terrible thing because just try it at home. The colors always come out wrong. Like not even close. Like a regular balabasa on WhatsApp, not even close. Like I try it. I take my phone, I go like this, take a picture of something, then look at the phone and look at the thing, and they are totally different colors. Mine's just higher. It's that bad. Meaning, it's good enough for watching a YouTube video whatever, because like, who cares if it's the same shade or not? It's not going to turn black into white and green into purple. It's just going to turn all shades of brown and red and yellow into other shades. Anyway, it's awful. So that's a terrible thing to do. There are some people who said, we're going to make an app. An app with special technology. The app is called Tohar, right? Or Tahor? I always forget.
Yeah.
You want something like that? I think I actually downloaded it once. So maybe I have it here. And it's called Tahar, the Tahar app, which is supposed to have advanced technology that helps calibrate your camera with the rabbi's screen, the woman's camera with the rabbi's screen, so that he sees the same color she took a picture of. And it uses all kinds of technological tricks to do that. Lemaisa, there are rabbis who are behind it, even some rabbis who I know. But Lemaisa, the consensus of the Torah world is that their technology, but what was their goal? Use technology to make sure the color is exactly reproduced without requiring any special equipment. Without requiring any special equipment. So they did a good a job as they can. The consensus of the Torah world is that it's not good enough. Because, you know, it's hard to reproduce things exactly. Lemaisa, if you wanted to have an app that would reproduce the color exactly, we had a conference about this last year in Machon Lev with the rabbis of Rabbi Mons Kollel together with the optics professors from Machon Lev. They had a big conference about it, I was there. And they decided that the only way to make such an app that, you know, one could really rely on halachically is that everyone would have to get in the mail an identical color chart. And they would use that color chart to calibrate their phones. And then they would be able to talk on the same wavelength. Lemaisa, that's totally, we have the technology to do it. Meaning in industry, they do this. You know, in the makeup industry, they do this all the time. Et cetera, et cetera. But the wedding photographers are more making on this, but their shape turn out as important. It required every woman to have the same color chart as the rabbi. Once the woman and the rabbi have the same color chart they got in snail mail, then they can calibrate their phones to make sure they're seeing the same thing. We would FedEx them the color chart, and then they could use this app. The app is not written yet, but, you know, maybe it'll be written soon. Lemaisa, it's still never going to be quite as good as a pair of eyes, but at least, you know, I can work on the line. Yeah, the Tahar app, it says explicitly only by women who don't have access to a rabbi. They're not saying it's l'chachila. They're saying it's the best we can do, b'di'eved. The most posts can say, even b'di'eved, you know, you have to come up with another reason. You can FedEx your beacon over rabbi. People do that all the time. Okay, anyway, getting back to Brown Rabosai. Okay, Ayin Sivei Torah says brown like chestnut shells. Ukamamashka coffee, like coffee. Now, yeah, obviously, all different kinds of coffee also, right? It gets shoot tahar. But you get the basic idea. Brown is, whatever it means, it's more or less what we call brown. And brown is tahar. That is the Sidrei Torah. Vein Tzochon Amar Kesem, and for sure, which is the Kesem, because it's not Nokod Mumis. It has no shade of red in it. It doesn't lean, there's no shade of red. The Gami and Sasa, I also found it. Here's the business of itself saying. I also found the rinse. The Shells Yavik, Rav Yaakov Emden. Halacha L'maisa, most Achronim write that brown is mutter. Again, historically, you want me to give an opinion whether the Rishonim and Chazal would have called it Yoruk, Adom, or Shachar? I really don't know. Everyone speculates something, and everyone has their own theory. I don't know. Lemaisa, it's a machlokes achronim. a minority of poskim are makel. If you look at the dark yeshuva here or in the Bade Shulchan here, are machmer. A minority of poskim are machmer. The lechem besimla, which is the Bal Kitter Shulchan Aruch and Hokas Nida, the Sifsei Chacham, who's the back of Sun, not this, oh, it's Sifsei Levi. The dark yeshuva kosin, the Shukbe Shlomo, are machmer. The Beis Shlomo and the Sifsei Chacham and the Lechem Besimla, but most all the other Achronim are Mekel, like the Sibri Tara. Even on our page, we saw the Sibri Tara in the Shelos Yavetz. According to the Pesach Tshuva, if you look in the side, there should be a Gilyan Marsha here. It says the Gilyan Marsha. The Dam Yorah Brown, Afilo B'dika Yesh Lohakel. He's also Mekel. I'll just read you a line from the Aruch HaShulchan, and that will be the bottom line. It says the Aruch HaShulchan right here. If you're ready, and then we'll stop because it's already very, very late. Yeah, Siftes. Cost of Academy Dolan. Don that's brown, meaning not Don, potential Don that's brown, et cetera. What do you say at the end? Mipal Makom, Bitseva Brown, Chalila Lahachmir. That's the Psak of the Aruch HaShulchan here, Siftes, Bitseva Brown, Chalila Lahachmir. Halacha l'maisa, that is our Masorah, like Rov Achronim, like the Aruch HaShulchan, that Bitseva Brown, Chalila Lahachmir. It's interesting, why don't you Chalila Lahachmir? It's a strong lashon. Me'el Chalila Lahachmir. I guess you just think there would be too much of a chomer on people. Anyway, halacha l'maisa, we paskin that brown is we paskin that we are not machmer on brown. Our minute is we're not machmer on brown, not in the first 3 days, even though Moshe was machmer in New York the first 3 days. Not even in Hefzik Tara. Maisa, our minig is, even though Shiva League was machmer and Tara, our minig is that we're not machmer on ground at all. The tricky part is, why are we not machmer on ground? Because it's not no tolad mumis. What's brown and what's reddish brown? Right? If you, anyone's, I don't know if anyone's ever looked at the details at all, but menstrual blood is not fire engine red like you prick yourself with the needle. Right? It's rusty, brownish type of red. And that's clearly red, so it's not a coffee. It has no reddishness in that brown. You ever make yourself black, you know, coffee? I don't care how much milk you put in or don't, there's no red tinge at all. You ever look at chestnuts? All the chestnuts I've seen, and I've eaten a fair share of chestnuts in my days, they have no tinge of red at all. However, there are lots of, you know, this is pretty more than a tinge. There are lots of browns that have, you know, it's hard somewhere to draw the line. That have a tinge of bread in that name, right? It's the signal. What? The, okay. Anyway, you see, I didn't set him off. You see why it's tricky. Why do people do Shemush and Maros now, even though, right? Rav Shechter says, Shemush and Maros is only in the Tanayah. Nowadays, anything that has any reddish in it whatsoever is Tanay, so you don't need any Shemush. Okay, that is not the Minig Olam. Not sure what Rav Shechter means by that. But anyway, why do we do Shemush? Because as much as you try to simplify it, it's still tricky to figure out what's a brown and what's a reddish brown. And that's what you need to practice to figure out what's a brown, what's a reddish brown. You need to do shimush. Okay, we're going to try and integrate that a little. Anyway, okay, we just started Kofei. Ches, not such long. I'm get a little longer a little later. Anyway, we'll continue this ending of Mir Hashem next time. But you see how it gets tricky. Just take another one of this board. And we don't need to remember that. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Here. If anyone wants to see one or two, I managed to find a couple. Oh, I had one in my house yesterday. I should have worn it. It was so red. But like, I was a little wondering why. Oh.
Yeah.